Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls, one ginger. You guys, we're kind of going rogue for this episode. It's the first remote episode that we've had of Killing Time in probably years, right?
A long time.
We're going rogue.
We're going rogue. It's been a busy couple weeks, and I think that we always prepare. We always have enough to like keep you updated with in-person Killing Times. This week kind of slipped by. So we're recording Wednesday night, and it's coming to you Thursday morning. So we're on the clock.
It doesn't get any more current than this.
Correct. And like, we were traveling and I was sick, and the cards just didn't align. And this is the best we got, but it's going to still be really good. We've got a good lineup.
So Alexis got you caught a stomach bug, right? Well, we'll go back. Alexis and I were in New York last week. We went to New York to film the Tamron Hall show, and it was a super last minute thing. I think that they asked us to do it like a week and a half before. I had to like move a lot of my schedule around, and it was a very quick turnaround, like 24 hour kind of a thing. And then you stayed a little bit late, somehow caught a stomach bug on the way home, right?
Oh, yeah. No.
And then I threw up for like 48 hours straight when I got home. Thank God I was home when that happened and not in New York.
On the plane?
Or needing to catch a plane. Like, oh, I would have stayed. I would have been like, forget it. I'll get a new ticket. I would have stayed. You can't travel like that.
No. I mean, you can't put other people in the path of that either.
No. Even if it's food poisoning and it's not contagious, like the last thing you need to be doing on a plane is like,
oh my God, that's my worst nightmare.
Worst nightmare.
That is my worst nightmare. Yeah. And I've been there before. That's an awful feeling. Ugh.
Wait, have you had a stomach bug on the plane before, Jared?
Oh yeah.
I haven't.
You yeah. have like throwing up or
international flight coming back from Europe.
Oh my God.
We were flying out of Italy and it was, oh dude, I don't even want to talk about it. I can't even relive that. It
no,
was
don't.
Awful. Yeah.
Was that the time that you took your clothes off in the bathroom?
No, that was when I accidentally took Percocet on the plane and then drank wine. I didn't know it was Percocet. I messed up. I ended up naked in the bathroom.
Like you were so hot. You needed to.
I was overheating and then I was like so like delirious. And who knows what could have happened. I mean, I was in there for like 30 minutes.
Imagine you would have hit some turbulence.
You would have been like Charlie from Lost. You would have like fucking slammed into the top of the airplane.
I did that thing where like I fell asleep and then I woke up and it was like alarms going off in my head. And it was crazy.
What a nightmare.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. Yeah, that's also really embarrassing because it's like there comes a time where the flight attendant's going to start knocking on that door.
Yeah, I knew I was getting close to it. And I was like, I either need to go back to my seat or like somebody's going to come checking on me. And
they might like emergency land, but yeah, they can't because it's over the Atlantic.
And I should probably put my clothes back on.
You're like, I can't put my pants on. I'm hot. I'm overheating.
It was pretty insane.
I know that feeling though when you're sick and like all you do is lay down the bathroom floor and strip. Because you're like, it's the only thing I can do. And it feels great.
You're like, I just want to lay on a cold tile right now.
Yes.
Except for instead of a cold tile, it's like a disgusting airplane bathroom that they never clean.
Oh my God.
Sickening, dude.
Anyways, awful. My nightmare.
I've been doing so much. I think I took 6 flights in the past 2 weeks.
Oh my gosh.
And the amount of farts that I have smelled on those planes. Jared and I, we're in like a fart tunnel.
Jack kept looking at me like it was me.
It was,
and
so,
I was like,
well, it was
no,
so potent. I'm like, it has to be you. Who else could it be?
So offensive, dude.
Who does that?
I don't God. Know. Hold
the woman right next to Jack, apparently.
God, it's so awful. Bad. Lex, do we want to talk about Tamron a little bit?
Yeah.
It was such a whirlwind of an experience. First of all, we couldn't figure out outfits until the very last minute, but we had to like look on point. I got a dress delivered at the very last minute that kind of fit, that I was like, thank God, because I didn't pack anything. I don't know what I would have done. I would have had to wear a sundress that I was supposed to wear in Mexico City on her show while you were in like a nice goth little cute dress.
Honestly, your dress turned out perfect. It looks so good.
It was really, really cute.
Can I say that I thought you guys were awesome? I woke up super early to catch that. There was like that Zoom link that Jack sent out.
Yeah.
And I was like delirious, like opening it up. And I think you guys were like super natural. It was really awesome. I think it just felt really, I don't know, like exactly where you're supposed to be. I think you handled it awesome. You look great.
Oh,
it was fun to watch.
It was really fun. And Tamron was awesome.
Yeah.
She's so sweet. I know. We felt so honored to be a part of it, but it was a whirlwind. Like the segment, I think, ended up being 5 minutes. How long did it feel like we're on that stage for, Lex?
30 seconds.
30 Tops. Seconds.
Tops.
Isn't that so funny?
I'm like, did she even ask a single question? Like,
I don't remember.
You're so nervous, and then like it goes by so fast, and then she asked us some questions that we weren't like prepared for, which is fine because we like answered them. But like, I think we had an idea in our mind of like how the questions would go. And then we're like, oh, and then it was like, oh, but wait, what about the.
Nope.
just threw you a curveball.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think it landed.
Yeah. No, that's what I was saying to you, Jack, is like, I would have had no idea because I didn't know what your prep was, but I watched it. And it just felt like a natural, like really good interview. So.
Oh, thanks.
You know what that reminds me of is that. We just did that Fall Out Boy tour and the set was only 30 minutes long.
Yeah.
And it was like, it felt like a blink because it was like such a new like situation, like being in an arena. We had never done that. And it was just like it's like I literally blacked out for 30 minutes.
I can't imagine doing anything like that for 30 long minutes.
We normally do an hour and 40.
That's so long.
Yeah.
For me, I'm like, that's an eternity.
I see what you mean.
It is insane. I mean, they are used to doing it for longer. I don't know how Jared does it. I think about like everything. And I'm like, don't you get nervous? Like, what if you get sick? What if this happens? Like, what if something goes wrong? I'm like, they have so many things that like, they have like tracks of like sounds and stuff that I'm like, what if that goes off track?
I mean, I'm
so
literally
much tech. Yeah.
So I'm knocking so on wood tech. Right now, but yeah, we have like, there's like 40 things that could go wrong.
What if someone throws a tomato?
Yeah.
That's happened.
What? A tomato?
Yeah. People throw shit.
Not tomatoes. A tomato.
Tomatoes are very old timey. Are you serious?
Well, this goes all the way back to high school, but yeah, my high school band, we were playing like at lunchtime. That's a tough crowd because nobody asked for it. And they have food.
And someone just had a tomato on hand?
Yes, and a sandwich. So
a sandwich.
Someone threw a sandwich, someone threw a burrito,
what
and
a
then someone
waste.
Threw a tomato.
Dude, that's so classic. Throwing a tomato and then like slipping on a banana.
Yeah, it's like it's lunchtime. What could go wrong?
I love it.
Me too.
I know, if like one cord gets pulled out, you guys are fucked.
Oh yeah, but knock on wood. But an hour 40 normally is what we do. But that's why 30 felt so quick. And I can relate to you guys because like, it just goes by like you don't even know what you said.
Yeah.
Correct.
You know?
Yeah.
But you did great.
Correct. So. Thank God you don't have to talk during yours.
Yeah. No, unless I'm really wasted, then I'll say something.
Yeah, that's how I know he's drunk, because if he gets on the mic.
I love it.
And then we got to get dinner with Holly Madison, our friend.
We had a great dinner with Holly. Love that girl. Love Holly. She's like a spiritual wonder. I'm just like, how? Are you a real person?
I love her so much. And it was so funny. You could see like there are some men. We went to go get sushi at this place called Blue Ribbon Sushi, which is really good in New York City. And I could see some men. I was like, oh, she's getting recognized. And people
everyone
like,
who walked by her.
Yeah.
And then when she walked off alone after dinner, when she went one way, and I'm like, everyone who passes her is going to recognize her.
Yeah.
And I was like, that must be so such an interesting feeling.
It's got to be so – it's like to be like a – like it's a different type of celebrity than like the new celebrity that we have now, even like a TikToker or something like that. It's like, that is a face that like everybody knows.
Yeah,
everybody
because
knows Holly.
Because when Girls Next Door came out, there was not like, we were not inundated with content the way we are now. So there weren't that many shows on. Everyone watched it. Everyone knew about it. They were like in tabloids. Crazy. Like they were such and are, you know, a big deal. And it's so, she's so great. I'm so happy we did that.
So great. And we had so much tea talk. It was
nice goss.
We had
session.
A lot of goss.
Damn, I missed it.
If you only knew so what we gossiped about.
That was so fun.
It was so good. Is there anything else that's happened in our lives? You got sick. I feel
you
like
you went
shit.
To Mexico City.
Yeah, we went to Mexico City. Jared had a show. Birthday.
My birthday. That was fun.
Jared's birthday. The show in Mexico City was so much fun.
Mexico City is so rad,
so
by
rad.
The way. Go
I
ahead. I know
to
you're
go.
About to say something, but it's so cool.
Yeah, we're going in October for our friend's wedding. But the Mexico City fans are next level.
It's a whole different kind of show.
Really?
It's crazy, dude.
They found out where Jared and I were staying because I posted about it that we're on the rooftop. Maybe they just assumed that we were staying there. And the first night when we came back from going out, there were like 20 fans waiting outside of our hotel for Jared.
No.
Well, I had to break
Jared,
all their hearts.
You're
I was
like a celeb.
It was like a celeb. It was cute.
I had to tell them all that the rest of the band wasn't staying there.
Were they sad?
I was like, hey, you only get 1 out of 5 right now. I'm so sorry, guys.
John is at the other hotel. John's at the other hotel.
I know. I was like, I'm sorry. John's not here. But they were so cool and like so respectful and like everyone's just
cool.
So pumped because we haven't been there in like 6 years. So it was really fun.
That's amazing.
Yeah, well, it was cool.
And there, I mean, I obviously was like kind of posting where we were like for my Instagram stories and like every bar that we went to, we'd walk outside and there were like a few fans waiting outside. I was like, this is cute.
It was fun. It was really fun.
Good for you, Jer.
Can't wait to go back.
I know. We got all the good places to go. It's a good city.
It's
so much
It
fun.
Really is. Yeah. It's like. I know you and you did a lot of planning, but like we never ran out of shit to do. Like we just were always stumbling into something awesome. Like really, really for like 4 days. It was really cool.
I'm so excited.
Go, go, go. Do we have anything else to catch up on?
No, I think that's it.
Should we jump into the day today?
I think we should.
Okay, doke. It is March 28th. And you know what? Today is kind of... I couldn't find that many great things, but we're going to go. I found the best of the worst and we're going to go through them.
Perfect.
So we're going back to 1797. Nathaniel Briggs of New Hampshire patents a washing machine. Now, I think that this is a long time ago for the washing machine to come out.
If it's an electric washing machine, absolutely.
Give me the year. What's the year?
1797.
No, it must have been like a hand churn one.
Yes.
Like a butter churner, but with like clothes.
Oh, yeah.
He's out there with like a plunger thing, just
it's
like
basically just
it.
Like a wheel and like a piece of wood.
Yeah. I mean,
still,
that makes sense,
very innovative.
Though. That beats washing it in the lake.
That does.
Or not washing it at all, which is probably what was going on.
Yeah, for sure.
I wonder how often people were washing their clothes. Everybody's so smelly back in the day. People are still smelly.
Correct. But imagine if you're on the East Coast and like the winter, they probably didn't wash them at all. Cause it's oh, who's going out to the river for that job?
And where
like,
are you hanging
negative
them up?
Degrees. Yeah.
And
they're
it's
gonna
probably
freeze.
Frozen.
Yeah. They'd freeze. Oh, yeah. The river's frozen. And also the clothes would be frozen when you hung them up. Cause there's no heat.
Ugh. Well, at least you're not all sweaty in the winter. I don't know. I can't really justify that. That just sucks all around.
Absolutely.
It's a bummer.
Bummer. Okay. 1881, the greatest show on earth, Barnum and Bailey Brothers Circus, debuted. So this was like a whole to-do because there was P.T. Barnum and then James Anthony Bailey, and then there's also the Ringling Brothers. So there was like all these three different circuses that were going on, and they finally decided to join forces to make the greatest show on earth. And that happened back in 1881. I can't imagine the animal cruelty that was going on.
Oh my God.
It's probably
also
disgusting.
Have you ever heard three more old-timey names than that?
Ringling Brothers.
P.T. Barnum?
P.T. Barnum.
Are you fucking kidding me?
James Anthony Bailey and the Ringling Brothers. I don't know who the Ringling Brothers were, but okay, so then it says... It was initially named P.T. Barnum's Greatest Show on Earth and the Great wait, no, this is so long. It was originally named P.T. Barnum's Greatest Show on Earth and the Great London Circus, Sanger's Royal British Menagerie, and the Grand International Allied Shows United. That was the name of the show.
It sounds like a Fall Out Boy song.
I know.
It sounds like a lot of licensing deals. Like you got to, you know, you got to mention everyone. But the menagerie is the animal cruelty right there.
They put the credits up front.
Yeah, I'm like,
they're in the title.
You know, nobody understood marketing back in the day. Nobody understood that you needed something like short and quippy. Yeah. And so then they eventually named it Barnum and Bailey Circus. And then it was, I guess, Barnum and Bailey's Greatest Show on Earth. I don't know. There's a lot going on.
Sounds like there's too many cooks in the kitchen.
There was.
Someone needs to be the boss.
Let's name it this.
Yeah.
I know. Yep. God. And then they said that they bought, Bailey was instrumental in acquiring Jumbo, advertises the world's largest elephant for the show.
Hmm. And then any relation to Dumbo?
Oh, I don't know. I don't
know. The flying fictional elephant?
Most depressing Disney movie there ever fucking was.
Oh my goodness.
What happens in Dumbo? Does he die?
I can't do
separated
Disney
from
sadness.
His mother and they hold trunks through the bars. And like she rocks him to sleep through the bars with her trunk.
Oh my God.
It's horrific. All old Disney movies are devastating.
Yes.
Devastating.
I can't do Disney sadness. It's the worst thing
Dumbo's,
in the world.
Then Dumbo gets like drunk. It's just like the saddest movie.
Man.
He gets high. You remember like elephants on parade.
Oh,
and
they're
all like a kaleidoscope of cartoon elephants. I'm just like, I can't believe my parents let me watch this. I want to cry thinking about it.
No, Disney.
Of course, that's PMS, but like I want to cry thinking about the swinging with the trunk through the bars.
Well, now I'm sad. Yeah.
No, it's like all Disney. I mean, even Lion King was newer and it still fucked me up for life. Like, I can't do it. Too sad.
Just thinking about animals makes me sad because we just don't deserve them.
No. Yeah. Especially not elephants.
No. Magnificent.
Magnificent.
All right, we're going to 1944. Astrid Lindgren, who is a writer, sprains her ankle and begins writing Pippi Longstocking. So the only reason why I really brought this up is because my first screen name of all time was Pippi 11 Pippi because I used to wear my hair in braids.
You did?
Wow.
Yep.
Pippi 11 Pippi.
Pippi 11 Pippi. And then my
how old were you?
I had to have been like in sixth grade. It was like an AOL screen name.
Do you remember your first screen name, Jared?
Yeah, I think I used the random generator and it was Sly360.
Mine was yours? Levin Slim Shady 4E.
Oh.
Damn.
Well, so my first one that like I really chose after that. Well, first of all, my best friend at the time, her name was Lauren and hers was Lolo 21 Lolo. And I was Pippi 11 Pippi. So those
besties.
Were like our bestie screen names. And then when I really was like coming into my own, I was Baby Girl 000, G-U-R-L.
Damn.
And I'm like, that is an iconic screen name. I got it before everybody else was generating all theirs.
It's very aughts.
Triple zero?
Yes.
Yeah.
Triple zero. Wow.
Baby Girl 000.
I can't remember my cringier names.
Oh my. What about like when you're in high school? Didn't you have a guitar or something?
Yeah, shiny guitar 444.
Shiny guitar.
That sounds like a Wi-Fi password.
Yeah, it's not the best. I'm not proud of it, but you know,
you're not proud of anything I've done.
No,
I feel better now.
Literally nothing. Okay, 1949. Fred Hoyle coined the term "Big Bang" in a radio interview.
Wow,
Jared.
Referring to the creation of the universe.
I guess so. I didn't look at this one. Yeah.
It was during an interview, like off the cuff, like just.
Yeah, he was just like, blah, 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 Big Bang, yada, yada.
I mean, yeah, Big Bang. I mean, that does sum it up pretty well. I mean, it's not
pretty
really
much what it was.
It doesn't feel like definitive, though. It's like it could have been like biggest bang or
colossal
most
bang.
Insane colossal bang.
Yeah,
infinity
you know,
bang.
Infinite
Big
bang.
Big Bang really doesn't do it for what it's
it sounds
to
kind
for.
Of underwhelming, right?
Gargantuan
it sounds like something.
Bang.
Yeah, it sounds like a car crash, maybe. You know?
Yeah, but a car crash would even be bigger than a big bang, you know?
Yeah. The big bonk.
The big bonk.
Boink. That's what he should call it, the big bonk.
Yeah.
The big boink. Yeah, totally.
It's like boink and we've started the universe.
Here we are.
Here we are.
The universe began with a boink.
Boink.
Yeah.
Okay, 1960s, Stanley Kramer was the first to get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. So that all started
first
in 1960.
First star ever?
Yep. Stanley Kramer. Didn't know who he was, but he's an American film director and producer responsible for making many of Hollywood's most famous, quote, message films. He called his movies heavy dramas, and he was a liberal movie icon. So I think he had a lot of like politically charged movies is what I kind of gathered from that.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
My favorite topic. First star.
Yeah. My favorite topics. Let's dive into it.
Yes. Stanley Kramer. Let's do a deep dive.
Yes.
Yeah. 1964, Madame Tussauds Wax Museum in London unveils the figures of the Beatles.
Wow.
Ooh.
And these wax figures later appear on the Sgt. Pepper album cover, which I did not know.
I didn't know that either.
And I included this in, there's like a picture in our doc, Lex. I don't know if you're in the doc, but
I am.
They actually, it's pretty good. The wax figures were pretty good. And to be honest, they haven't gotten much better than that.
I mean, they're phenomenal. John Lennon is like spot on.
So is
Ringo.
Haven't
they only gotten worse? Isn't that like the meme is every time there's a new one, it's like, it turns into a meme?
Like, yeah, no, because they're so bad. I'm like, these are better than the Ariana Grande one.
The one on the right looks a little like a puppet.
That's Paul.
Is that Paul? Yeah.
Poor Paul.
Paul's eyebrows are a little wrong, but we're close.
They're a little rainbow-like.
Yeah.
We'll post this on our Instagram. But like, I feel like all things considered, it's pretty good.
I agree.
Yeah. Jared,
they probably like 3D print them now with like AI, you know?
I know, but they're bad. Then how are they so bad still?
I don't know. Just
well, unless it's like part of the like the art form that like someone is like sculpting these things. Because they haven't gotten any better.
Correct.
Yeah.
They're not great. I don't know. I haven't really gone to see any of this stuff in person because...
No, I have.
I did when I was like little.
I just don't do things like that. So...
Like the first time I came to Hollywood ever, I probably did that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I've got one on Hollywood Boulevard.
You got to be a tourist in your own town sometimes.
I was more of like a Ripley's Believe It or Not goer. That's what I liked. Too. Those are fun.
More of like a Dave and Buster's kind of guy, you know?
I'm still a Dave and Buster's gal.
Yeah.
It's not really the same thing. But
no.
Okay. 1979, Three Mile Island nuclear disaster happened. So this happened when a pressure valve in the Unit 2 reactor at Three Mile Island failed to close. So it was a big nuclear disaster. But what I found really interesting about it is the China Syndrome, which was a movie about a nuclear meltdown caused by a faulty sensor reading and a stuck open pressure release valve, was released only 12 days before the Three Mile Island meltdown.
Interesting.
So I don't know, conspiracy theory or no, but that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Like exact thing that happened. There was a movie that came out 12 days before.
That is interesting. Super weird.
I wonder if there's any link to the time traveling Trumps.
Oh, maybe.
Maybe they were there. You never know. Remember? Ripples in time.
Remember time traveling Trumps?
Anything is possible.
Anything is possible. And then we all wrap it up in 2017. The world's largest dinosaur footprint at 1.7 meters was found in Kimberley, Western Australia. So that is about 5.5 feet. Okay. That's crazy.
They were probably, some of them, like a brontosaurus was probably so cute.
So cute.
Like an elephant. You know how we feel about elephants and like hippos and rhinos? Like,
oh, yeah.
A brontosaurus, a stegosaurus is probably so like a big armadillo.
I was recently on like animal running speed algorithm TikTok.
Oh, I've been on that too.
Yeah.
Where they do the simulation.
Yeah. And they show you how fast things run. And there's one with dinosaurs. And well, they show you the size and the speed that they run. And the T-Rex, I mean, number one, my favorite dinosaur. But we just think of the T-Rex as being like the ultimate, right? They were not that big and they didn't run that fast.
How
I think
big
it's at
were
the,
they?
Like not that big in comparison to like anything else. Like,
yeah, but they had that gigantic jaw and all those teeth. Like
they had the big head and the tiny arms, which I love. But like, I think that they only ran like 18 kilometers an hour or something, which is not fast.
No, but velociraptors are fast, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's a
supposedly.
Lot of
supposedly
most of the fastest dinosaurs I've never even heard of.
Really?
Like the and the biggest, like the
yeah,
scariest.
I would imagine that like a pterodactyl would be pretty fast, like the flying.
Yeah,
type
flying
would
is
be
cheating.
Pretty quick.
Yeah,
flying is
kind
of cheating.
Yeah,
I mean
that's not your muscle power. You're using aerodynamics to go fast. Cheater.
It is cheating. Yeah,
yeah.
I agree. All right, so we're taking the T-Rex is getting knocked down.
They're getting knocked down
a couple notches.
Yeah.
Okay. I have to process this.
I know it was very shocking. I was like, why is this just in the beginning? I was like, these should be. the end of the thing. They should all be the marketing.
The T-Rex has had the best marketing.
I know. Which I'm
They really did.
I love them. They're so cute.
Aw.
Yeah.
I want a mini one.
I would like to see you say that if you encountered one in real life.
I saw a girl on TikTok who has a giant water monitor as a pet, a black one.
Oh, wow. Speaking of dinosaurs. Yeah.
And it was the coolest, cutest thing I've ever seen. Mm. This one, because she had it since it was like a baby. So it's like sweet little.
Oh, it's like domesticated?
It's like docile. Wow. It's so cute.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I love it. I want one. Bring down dinosaurs.
Every time I
back.
See that, I always see like people that have like weird pets. And I get like jealous. Then I think about how difficult that would be. Like your life would probably be hell.
It's just your life. Your life revolves around that. You can't do anything else. Because like especially an exotic pet, they're probably very delicate.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they need like chameleons. A routine and like precise care.
Well, everybody loves like chameleons, axolotls, those kinds of things. They're like super cute. But they're like you breathe on them wrong and they're toast.
Yeah.
Because they're not very, very fragile.
They're so
they're cute.
I'm waiting for the minute they make capybaras domestic pets.
Oh my god, dude, they're bigger than I thought.
They're getting bigger.
No, they're the thing is they're huge.
Yeah,
of course they're bigger than you think.
They're like giant rats.
Yeah, that's what a capybara is.
I bet they chew hella cords though.
They probably do.
My rabbit chewed every cord it could get its hands on, and I'm like, imagine if he was septuple the size.
Yes.
My favorite living with a giant rat.
Yeah.
One of my favorite like old YouTube videos was a capybara in a little headband. They gave, or maybe it was like a birthday hat. And then they kept feeding them. They love popsicles.
Oh.
So it was feeding it a popsicle and then it kept like sliding down like a play, like a little playhouse slide. And he would just keep going back up it, licking a popsicle, sliding down, going back up it, licking a popsicle in his birthday hat, sliding down.
God, and, like, what a life.
Kind of my dream loop.
It's it was such a loop. And it's like, this thing is fucking stupid. And
he
like
knows
I
what
love
he likes.
It.
He
I love it.
I would do that.
It was so cute. All right. Well, those are our dark days. So when we come back, we have got some bitching to do.
When I was growing up, I took French in high school, but I could never get the language to stick. I wanted to be fluent so bad, but it never happened. I just couldn't focus and I couldn't practice enough and it didn't work. But thankfully, there's Rosetta Stone, which is the most trusted language learning program, and it's available on desktop or it can be used as an app on your phone or tablet. Rosetta Stone is different. It immerses you in so many ways. And with its intuitive process, you can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, and then sentences. And before you know it, boom, conversations. Plus, with Rosetta Stone's true accent feature, you'll get feedback on how well you're pronouncing words. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the First Degree listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/first. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/first today.
Okay, so it comes as no surprise that I have absolutely no idea how to cook. I don't want to learn how to cook. It's not really my thing. But when I tried Factor Meals, it was a freaking game changer. So Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Yeah, 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. So the first time I tried Factor Meals, I was actually blown away because I'm like, that's it. That's all it is. 2 minutes. And the meals are so delicious. With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every single week, you'll always have new flavors to explore. And you can treat yourself to restaurant quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon. Ooh, fancy. Shrimp and blackened salmon. Like I said, they're so easy to prepare. I love them. So head to factormeals.com/degree50 and use code degree50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code degree50 at factormeals.com/degree50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead, guilty or not guilty?
Okay, we're bringing back on the stand because, well, Alexis kind of was telling me about something she wanted to talk about. I didn't really know what section it really went in the podcast. So we're just doing a rogue on the stand because I think that it's going to be a really, really sweet little story, right, Lex?
Do you want
to start off?
Oh, yeah, I want to start. So what I'm putting on the stand, as in I think it should happen more. I'm not prosecuting. I'm essentially advocating for. So just, it'll say all you need to know in this headline that I'm reading from USA Today. It says, Blossom the Goose lost her life partner and an online personal ad brought her a new one. So there was this cemetery in Iowa called the Riverside Cemetery. And the managers there had this pair of geese that were like a bonded pair. And Blossom's partner died. And she was so depressed that she would go around to all the shiny graves and just stare at her reflection.
Oh my God.
Oh.
Then, and like she was just staring and like moving, like thinking it was another goose. And then they got her a mirror. They're like, oh my God, she's getting depressed. So she would just stand by the mirror all day. And so they were like, well, maybe someone in the area has a, you know, a male goose who is also depressed.
Yeah.
So they posted an ad and they had one. And they brought her a goose and they immediately bonded because they bond for life. So she was just like devastated at losing her life partner. Aww. So the new goose's name was Bud. And then, Bud was the old was the old one. So R.I.P. Bud.
R.I.P. Bud.
Yeah. And the new one is, let's see, a new male goose, Frankie.
Wait, what was the alive goose? What was the widow?
Blossom.
Blossom?
Cute. Blossom and Frankie. And then they like immediately bonded and now they live happily at the cemetery. And Jack, Jared, and I have been to the Hollywood Forever Cemetery and there's a bonded pair of swans there that remind me of this. Aww. And they're named Atlas and Zeus. And they're like never apart. Like all the birds at the cemetery have like, they're in like a couple.
I think this
is super common for birds. And yeah, so then Blossom stopped like obsessing about the mirror and looking in the graves once she had Frankie.
Oh.
Yeah, it's super sweet.
That's so cute. God. I didn't know that birds were like that. I didn't know that they had they were monogamous.
Yeah. And then I was looking up more about this and it's like geese will also just like adopt baby ducks. Like they're pretty like bonding. Like this guy had like was given like some orphaned baby ducks in this pair of geese just like started just mothering them, you know.
That's
like
crazy.
Birds are fascinating. And
I didn't know that was a thing.
They're closest related to dinosaurs. Yes.
They basically are dinosaurs, yes, right?
This is true.
Yeah.
I mean, look at a toucan. I mean, that's...
Honestly, I love to look at toucan.
It is giving T-Rex.
A majestic animal.
Or like hawks. Like we look at hawks on our patio. I'm like, that's an apex bird. Like a little pterodactyl or like a
Every
little
Every time I see one,
after.
I freak out. I'm like, oh my God, there's like,
dude,
look at that
emus?
Thing. That's like king of the... Go ahead.
Emus, like big running fast birds, like
ostrich.
Ostrich, unreal.
Ostriches are fucking fucked up.
Scary.
Like, what do you mean?
Geese can be mean. Geese.
Well, my mom got attacked by a goose.
No.
Yeah.
She tried.
They can be mean.
When I was a kid, she got attacked by a goose, and now she's like scared of birds.
Yeah, of course.
I mean,
bird phobia. I love birds. I'm friend
of
birds,
but she just doesn't like geese. I mean,
I've been shit on by a bird, but no, none of them have ever heard me.
That's good luck. That's actually good luck.
Mm. Oh my God. I got shit on by a bird in junior high. It's like one of my only memories that I have. And I got so upset.
That's all you got.
It traumatized you so much. You forgot everything else that happened.
That's all she's got.
I know. No, I don't have a lot of memories from school for some reason. But anyways, I do remember getting shit on. Well, watch. My mom will listen to this and she'll be like, that never happened. Because sometimes I have memories that aren't real.
Wrongly like imprinted.
Like that I had a pet eel when I was a kid. And I talked.
Maybe you came from a different timeline.
Yeah. I talked about it on Lady Gang that I had a pet eel, like a little mini, like a mini eel, like in a fish tank. I remember it so distinctly. And I talked about it on the Lady Gang podcast. And my parents, the next time I saw them, they're like, you never had an eel. And I was like,
did you have another fish? Do you have a fish? You never had a fish tank, period.
I remember the fish tank distinctly.
It's from a different timeline.
I remember exactly where it was. Like, Jared, you know my parents' house. It was to the right of the sink. I remember looking at the little eel in it. I remember what the fish tank looked like. And allegedly, I never had one.
Well,
I'm inclined to go with your parents with this one.
So, yeah, I'm going to go with the adults that were there the entire time.
But that
also, an eel sounds like a lot of upkeep.
No, they were like, I think you can get them, like little mini eels. Maybe not. Maybe just in my
multiverse,
multiverse.
Another life.
Like,
yeah.
Maybe timeline. It was.
Did you have a Sims eel?
No, I never.
Was it Sims?
No. No, this is real life. This is real life. I remember it, but apparently not. So anyways, I remember the bird shitting on me in junior high and I got so upset I had to get picked up from school. And I
was traumatic
because I mean, in junior high, everybody makes fun of you, you know,
for everything.
Yeah. I was a laughing stock because it shit on my shoulder.
I couldn't even be a teacher in a junior high school. I don't know how they do it. Kids are so mean at that age that like, I bet you teachers leave crying all the time.
Oh yeah. Oh no. I mean, it used to happen all the time in my middle school. We had, oh my God, just little bastards running around.
It's not the bastards. Worst. It's the girls. There's nothing meaner than a junior high girl. They're so terrifying.
Awful. Mm.
Awful. Well, all right. Back to the geese. Obviously not guilty. So cute.
More animals who get, you know, lose their partners. Let's do personal ads for animals.
I love it.
Yeah. I love that. Maybe a misconnection.
Honestly, instead of putting like up for adoption or whatever, like I feel like if we try to couple them up, that would be more appealing.
Everybody needs a companion.
Yeah.
CoupledUpDucks.com.
That's
CoupledUpDucks.com.
We're going to do it.
Yeah. Forever Fowl.
Forever Fowl is so good.
I love it. Dating website. It's like Match.com.
Only Fowls.
Oh
only
my God. Fowls. That's good.
Jeez.
If you're not looking for something serious, you go to OnlyFowls.
Short term.
Make a quick buck.
Yeah.
Oh,
I love it.
Man.
Me too.
Jared, do you want to go?
I'll go. Okay. So we just got back from Mexico. I'm putting street meat on the stand today.
Ooh.
I had a change of heart because I don't know. It always kind of scared me. We have a bunch of carts around us on the west side out here in LA. And I just haven't gone to them because I don't know. I think about like, you know, food safety practices and stuff. But I got to tell you, we went to a food cart in Mexico City that kind of changed my life. Jack, what was it called? What's the lady's name?
Her name is Jenny's Quesadillas. Ooh. And she's you get like a kind of random location of where she would be. We couldn't find her the first day. But she has these quesadillas. They're all made on like blue flour tortillas that they literally make right in front of you.
You press
like
them right there.
They press them and throw them on like immediately.
And they've got like four or five options. It's like chicken, steak, zucchini? Zucchini blossom?
Squash blossom, yum.
And then they have like a potato sort of thing too. And then they do tortas as well, which are incredible. But it was so simple and like so just like, it doesn't look like anything. And then it's like a couple ingredients and it was incredible.
And
it was so good.
She has like a following.
I think so, right?
Yeah, I love that for her.
It's like a viral thing. And she doesn't have there's no Instagram or anything. You just like, I heard about it so many times when I was researching Mexico City. I was like, we have to go.
Find her.
Yeah.
And we found it on, our flight was delayed on Monday coming home and we had an extra like couple hours. We like walked around and I'm like, oh, it's Jenny's. I see the blue tortillas. So we like ran across the street and it was so good. And our stomachs are both fine.
I'm chilling. I'm good. And then we got back and I'm thinking about all the ones around us out here, like I said, on the west side. And I want to try some of them now because I know that a couple of them are like supposed to be legendary.
Yeah.
There's like a Whole Foods out here that's got one always out front. There's always like 40 people in line. And I've always just been a total coward. And so I'm home and I want to try it.
I think it's time.
So not guilty. Street meat for me has come back to not guilty.
Not guilty. Mine is going to be quick. I'm putting migraines on the stand. I had my first real migraine, like debilitating, cannot get up out of bed, can't move, throwing up, like,
oh my God,
horrible. We flew into Mexico City. Number one, I didn't realize Mexico City was 8,000 square feet.
Oh, wow. Square feet. That's actually small for a country.
At 8,000 foot elevation, which is pretty high. I mean, it's high. It's as high as a lot of mountain towns. But we got in there and I started feeling really wonky. And then I just started feeling worse and worse. And we had made this reservation at this place called Contramar months in advance because it was such a sought after.
It was
restaurant.
My birthday that night too.
I know, and it was Jared's birthday, and we got there, and I was like, "This is not getting better." I'm like, I'm starting to get really nauseous. I was getting tunnel vision, like seeing double, like the whole thing. And then by the time I got back to the hotel room, I could not move. I don't know. I think it was like
probably exhaustion. You guys were coming from New York. You guys had just done that taping, and I'm sure you were, you know, hours and dehydration and stuff like that.
I think my body was just like, I'm going to shut down on you. right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to shut down.
When I got home,
you.
I got sick. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was the same kind of thing. It was crazy, though. I've had one other migraine before. It was like 6 months ago. But this one was like, I've always been like, you can push through them. And I was like, I don't know. Like, I imagined myself like, or like, if you're like a single mom out there that had like had to take care of your kid, I could not get out of bed. Like, I had to like lay there like completely still, because if I moved, I had to move my hand to like scratch my nose, and then it came back all over again. God. Like, it was so insane. I've never experienced anything like it. It was the worst pain I've probably ever been in my entire life. Worse than any
sickness. Don't underestimate exhaustion. No. It'll get you.
No, it was crazy.
We used to be able to do that. Like, I could push myself for weeks with total self-neglect. And now if I do it for like 5 days, I fall apart. It's like strange that to be an adult and be like, wow, I have to do like self-care and get enough sleep, or I have panic attacks and I die.
Yep. That's where I'm at right now. My voice is so strained. I'm like struggling.
Well, I'm glad you made it, and definitely guilty. Screw the migraines.
Guilty, dude. Yeah. Migraine.
Imagine being anybody like, out there, dude.
I just don't know. Everybody out there like that struggles with them. Like, I don't know how you do it. It is truly insane.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Okay. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the things that are going on right now.
Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that the U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut. If you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.
Summer. The best time of year usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Okay, so we've got some headlines going on this week. I'm going to throw them out there. You guys let me know what you want to talk about.
Okay.
First of all, Quiet on the Set. Have you watched it?
No.
Oh boy, have I, Jack. Right next to you on the couch.
I was more talking to Alexis. You haven't watched it, Lex?
I'm like, I'll watch it, but I'm not really into... I'm not into mob stuff. I'm not really into kids stuff.
Mob.
And I'm not really into like...
She's just given a list of what like, she doesn't normally watch.
Like crime cases about the mob. I don't really like cult stuff. I think it's kind of... It's all the same to me.
Oh, that's so funny.
And the kids stuff I don't love, but I have been like... I probably am going to try to watch it because I've been getting lost in the TikToks.
You have to watch it.
It's pretty intense. Yeah. It's pretty crazy. It's crazy what happened to... Drake Bell. Oh my God, dude. It's just insane. And
I mean,
right in the public eye too, like, and not a word was like publicly known at all.
Well, do you know the things about Drake Bell, Lex?
No, I don't even know who Drake Bell is.
Okay. So Drake Bell, he was like a child actor. He was on that show, Drake and Josh. Well, he was first on the Amanda show, like with Amanda Bynes. That's how he like got into the whole thing. And then he was on Drake and Bell. They did like...
Wait, hold on. Lex, were you a Nickelodeon kid or a Disney kid?
I was Nickelodeon. I watched the Amanda show.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
Okay. So he was like the main kid on the Amanda show back
then. But it goes all the way back to like All That. There's like... I watched all that.
Did you guys watch Roundhouse? I bet you it happened everywhere.
Yeah. Well,
it did.
One guy producing shows for Nickelodeon, this dude Dan Schneider.
Yeah.
He was in everything. He was, if you remember on Good Burger, he was like their manager. He was kind of like...
Well, he would insert
like,
himself everywhere because he was a fucking creepazoid.
Yeah.
Anyways,
go ahead, Jeff.
But basically the thing that happened with Drake Bell, which was like the big bomb drop, because like the first two episodes were just about like, not just about, but they had a bunch of the different kids that were on All That and the Amanda show and like all of the very inappropriate, illegal shit that Dan Schneider was doing. And then Drake Bell like walked on the screen because he hasn't talked because he went through that whole legal thing with this, the victim that was saying that there is like pedophile child sexual stuff going on. And it kind of like just like took the world by storm in a sense where like everybody was just like Drake Bell is a pedophile, like Drake Bell is a pedophile. And that's all it was. But the case was not about that at all. And it was just these few headlines that everybody like latched onto. So it was his first time that he was actually like telling his side of the story about that. And then also about he was sexually abused and raped by this guy.
Dan Schneider.
Dan Schneider. It was a different guy. His name was Brian Peck. He worked with Dan Schneider. But he was a minor at the time and he never came forward. So nobody knew it was him up until like last week when this all aired.
My God. Dude, you know what I learned through all of this?
What?
Do not ever under any circumstance write a letter of, what do they call it? Dude, like the amount of names that were a letter of support. What do they call it?
Well, yeah. He was getting sentenced. The Brian Peck guy was getting sentenced for raping Drake Bell, basically. And he had like all the letters of support from like people in his life. And like the biggest one that was like a bomb drop was James Marsden wrote like this letter of support being like, he is like the best. He has gone through what Brian Peck has gone through in the last year is like the torture of 1,000 men or something.
It's just so like, I mean, and that's the thing too, is like you have a name, you don't know the details. You're just going to bat for this person. And then it ages like milk. Because this documentary comes out, your name is on this.
Well, he never thought that they've been sealed for 20 years.
Yeah, totally.
They didn't think that they would ever come out. He probably
just like the Ashton and Mila thing too. It's like that shit comes out.
But the kind of people who commit crimes like this are really charismatic. Like,
yeah,
to be able to groom children in front of their parents and like isolate children from their parents. Like, you are such a likable, believable, honest seeming guy. That's what's so scary about these people.
Yeah,
like, and that's so actually charming.
Yeah,
Drake says that in it. He basically says, you know, at one point when he tried to come up for air, he realized that all the pieces had been moved into position like against him. He had no moves to make.
Well, he and it's because his poor dad.
This guy was. Go ahead.
No, his poor dad. Like, he was such a good parent to him. Like, in the beginning, like, he was always there. He would never let him go in a room alone with this Brian guy. Like, he was protecting him so much, and it got to a point where that Brian guy ended up like closing his dad out of his life. And then basically Drake was like, I don't want my dad to manage me anymore. And then he went under his mom's care. And then his mom was like negligent and basically just like let him do sleepovers with this guy. And it's like the saddest fucking story. And his dad is being interviewed in it. And it's just like so, so fucking sad.
Yeah.
Because he did everything right. And then it like still happened.
It's, yeah, these people have like tremendous influence and are really good at grooming, you know.
Yeah,
they're like psychopaths.
It's so fucking crazy.
I think the scariest, sorry, last thing I'll say, the scariest part of it is he's basically talking about how when he had to show up to court to testify and it was just like him and his two parents or parent, his mom and his sister, and the other dude, this, what was his name, Brian Peck,
yeah,
his side of the courtroom was filled, all industry.
Gross.
Everybody.
So disgusting.
It's crazy. It's so like telling. Anyways,
but apparently they're doing another, because there was 4 episodes, and then now people are posting on TikTok that there is allegedly an episode 5 coming out, but nope. So, and everybody thinks it's going to be like somebody new that is going to talk.
Well, ID posted about it, and they're the ones, they posted about the additional episode, so it's true.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh, it's for real. Oh, mm-hmm. Cool.
I mean, people are,
I didn't know that.
So people are thinking like maybe Jeanette McCurdy. So she's the one that wrote that book. Like,
I have the
I'm
book.
Glad My Mom Is Dead.
I have the book right here, actually.
Yeah. Her, or some people are saying Lori Beth. Remember Lori Beth from all that?
Yeah.
Lori Beth Denberg?
Yeah.
Oh,
people are thinking her.
Everything.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see. But yeah, it's fucking horrible and like traumatizing to watch, but like it's so fascinating. And it's like, if Nickelodeon was that bad, imagine how bad Disney was.
Yeah. Well, you know, things are just coming out left and right. Like, I sent this in our group chat, Jack, but there was Bob Saget's roast. Did you watch the video I sent?
No, but I've seen it. It's so about the
Olsen twins.
The jokes they were making about the Olsen twins when they were children, when they were on set, all the jokes were sexual. John Stamos did it. I don't even know the other people who did it.
Well, apparently John Stamos is super problematic just to begin with in that aspect.
I just couldn't believe they were making jokes about Ashley or Mary-Kate like swallowing. Like, I'm like, of course they didn't come back to the Full House fucking reboot. Like, they were probably like horrifically, if they weren't abused, objectified, just these, the jokes are horrific. I couldn't believe what I was hearing.
Well, you know what's crazy? And a lot of people don't even know this. Like most people don't know this, but Bob Saget, as being like an American dad on TV, if you've never seen his stand-up, it's like the most raunchy, craziest shit in the world. It would, the duality between the two are, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you know, you'd be shocked. Like, let's say you just wanted to go because you knew his name. You would be stunned. No. You know what I'm saying?
I had seen his stand-up back in the day. But, well, it's funny because it's like now it makes you think of all of these people that distance themselves or didn't come back. It's like you think of the Olsen twins. And it's like, okay, well, what did they experience that made them like never want to come back? You think of Ben Savage from Boy Meets World, like completely distanced himself from like everybody.
And he's in politics now.
He is?
Really?
Yeah, in LA, if you Google it. I have his number. We used to text.
Oh, what?
Do you remember this?
He was like loosely friends with our friend group. Yeah.
Yeah, he used to be around.
No, but he's so funny. So back to the Brian Peck like support letters, Ryder Strong, which he played Sean, I think, on Boy Meets World. Yeah.
Sean Hunter? Go ahead. Right?
And another one of the people from Boy Meets World both wrote support letters. So it's like, okay, well, Ben Savage obviously probably was like on the other side of it. And then you think about who else distanced themselves from everything? Oh, we were talking about the main guy from That 70s Show.
Oh, Ashton?
Topher Grace. Like, it's like, no wonder he fucking distanced himself. Like, look what was going on with everybody else on that show. Like, it's just so crazy.
It is and it isn't. Yeah.
No, it's not like, crazy at all.
People in power exploit the vulnerable. They like do every time, you know? Yeah. And it's like people who are power hungry, children have, you know, no agency. So I'm not surprised. It's disgusting.
It's just very interesting, like with everything going on, like with the Diddy stuff and like everything that's kind of like getting exposed. It's like we all knew.
Cat Williams knew.
Cat Williams said that 2024 was the year of reckoning, and I am ready to see the downfall.
Isn't that so fucked up that someone always comes out and appears crazy at first, and then it's like as more shit. Like, it's just wild the way that society operates.
Well, you feel so fucking bad for Corey Feldman now. He's been screaming it from the rooftops forever, and everybody just made fun of him. Anybody that came out, you know, was just like, it's like we all knew. And then
Amanda Bynes had a secret Twitter.
I know.
Where she was like outing stuff and she probably was just had Amanda Bynes. I mean, it explains a lot actually about what's happened to her. Imagine grappling with this.
It is devastating. I hate watching because, you know, you're watching the show and like they show her when she was like young and like charismatic and lively and all this shit like that she was playing on TV. Like the Amanda Show was a really fun show. I remember being a kid and loving it. And then seeing videos posted now, it like breaks my heart. It's
she was just like the biggest light. Like it is just so heartbreaking.
It really is.
Hollywood is sick.
Sick.
You know, I used to want to be an actress when I was younger and I did all the acting classes and stuff. And I'm like, thank God.
I know.
Like that is, I mean, my parents would have watched me like a fucking hawk, but still it's just like that world is so dark. It's just like, I'm happy it's finally getting exposed. Cause it's just like, everybody thought that they could get away with anything.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's so nuts.
Crazy.
Would you like another current event fact?
Sure. We'll end with this because we're running late.
Yeah. And I have. All right. Yeah.
So end on a high note.
Okay. Yeah.
The Titanic door prop, the one that kept Rose alive at the end.
Mm-hmm.
It sold this week.
Oh.
You want to guess what it sold for?
Oh, my God.
$1,000,000.
Wow. Right between both those, sold for $718,000.
Wow.
The door from the end of the movie, which, by the way, two people could have easily fit on.
Well, we know that.
But what's crazy is I think there was like, when I was reading the article, there was the whip that Indiana Jones used. Uh-huh. And I don't know if it was Temple of Doom or which movie. Only went for like $500,000. And in my mind, that's like such a more iconic prop.
No way.
You don't think so?
No.
Then the door?
No way.
Titanic is the best movie of all time.
Most iconic. I mean,
most iconic prop from the most iconic movie.
And at the time it was made, it was like groundbreaking.
Yeah.
And then with what happened with submersible, I mean, it's pretty like.
Oh, okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow.
Didn't even think of that.
Okay.
There's so many other current events we wanted to talk about. Maybe we do that next week.
I know. Yeah. Let's do it next week. We'll do an in-person
debrief. Current event.
I like that. Debrief. I want to see both of you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I know. Okay. This is fun.
I want to do it in person.
I know. All right. We'll be back next week, but this is fun.
Hey, love you guys.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that the U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut. If you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.